Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Paul and Jordana, DJ producing, thank you for joining us. It's Thursday, 3:46 on News Talk 830 WCCO. So, jury selection begins shortly, March 8th, in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former MPD officer charged with the killing of George Floyd. Opening arguments set for March 29th. The trial may wrap up sometime in late April, and there are already signs of the impending trial in terms of security. Fencing, barricades already going up downtown. Up to 2,000 National Guard, 1,100 law enforcement officials from 12 different jurisdictions, including MPD, will be on hand. Access to some government buildings as well as skyways may be restricted. We wanted to get the latest from Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. Grateful that he could join us today on CCO. Hello, Mayor.
Hi, Mayor.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul and Jordana.
Absolutely. I appreciate you joining us here and answering a few questions. Hindsight is always 20/20, and I'm just curious, from your perspective as the mayor, what have you learned? What has the city learned from last year's riots, and what specific steps are being taken to protect life and property during the upcoming trial, should things possibly get out of hand?
Well, I think that anyone that's claiming that they haven't learned things through 2020 lacks sincerity. And so, you know, of course, in retrospect, there's a number of things that we can and are improving upon. But I think the biggest differential right now is that we've had time. We've been preparing since literally late last summer. Those preparations culminated with a request for the National Guard that went to the state and the governor in December. And we've been working together with just painstaking detail with our local and our state law enforcement partners to achieve a plan that we feel will keep people safe. And as you mentioned, that includes 12 different law enforcement jurisdictions from around the state. We're very much appreciative to have their support in the form of mutual aid. We're appreciative that we're in lockstep right now with the state. And that's the direction that we're moving, because we need to be keeping our residents and businesses safe through this very difficult time. And that's most definitely a top priority.
Mayor, a lot of lessons have been learned, as you said, since the death of George Floyd. Can you tell us specifically what your administration has done to improve race relations, to improve communication and the relationship with the Black community in Minneapolis?
The work is ongoing, and to be very clear, it is not finished. There has been a lot of trust that has been damaged between our police department and specifically our Black community, and that's assuming there was trust there to begin with. And so, you know, Chief Arredondo and I have moved forward to lay out a litany of reforms that we've pushed forward. And that's everything from overhauling our use of force policy to make it as absolutely stringent under state policy as possible, under state laws possible, to requiring a de-escalation reporting structure for every interaction that Minneapolis police officers have. De-escalation shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be the very first thing that we're working on. And that's just a couple of things in the policing area. We also need to look at how we're transforming how we operate as an inclusive economy. And so we've moved forward with an organization called Minneapolis Forward that we've helped set up that is helping us to look at things differently. Because, you know, when we get set back up again, as things recover, as we rebuild, it can't just be a back to normal. We recognize there are deep-seated changes that need to be seen in the way our city enterprise does business and the way our economy functions, and we're going to be ready to enact them.
Okay.
Do you support the charter amendment changes that were discussed today about revamping MPD?
Well, I'm not totally clear on which charter amendments you're referencing. There's one that is brought forward. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying Sloan Martin was just educating us about this, you know, obviously about changing the way the MPD focuses about, you know, less police officers and more folks like, trained personnel arriving on scene when there are certain circumstances, you know, like a rape or a mental illness call.
Sure. Well, my position has remained consistent. Haven't changed it a lick throughout. And you know, if we're talking about strategies of safety beyond policing, I'm on board. There are more than a few instances where you do not need a police officer to respond with a gun. We can have a different form of expertise, be it social workers or mental health responders that can provide the necessary expertise and compassion that is necessary in some of these situations. We need law enforcement and police. And so do I support doing these additional measures? Absolutely. Do I support eliminating police? No, I do not. As has, I think, been made very clear, there are instances, tragically far too many in our city, where you need police, you need law enforcement. I don't think that we shouldn't shy away from a both-end approach, because the both-end approach is the right recipe.
Mayor, I mentioned about access to some government buildings and possibly the skyways. Can you help to set expectations for listeners who live in Minneapolis or work in Minneapolis about the coming weeks? What can we expect? Nobody likes surprises, but in terms of just, you know, getting to work, going out for lunch, what should people know at this point?
Well, first, we're going to be providing very regular briefings to the public to make sure that we have, you know, two-way communication and to make sure that they have the most up-to-date information as possible. Now, some of the message that we're providing is going to be repetitive, and that's intentional, because what we saw last summer was quite a bit of disinformation that was out there, and we've found that one of the best ways to get the right message out is to repeat it a few times. And so yesterday was the first of many briefings. Here's what people can expect. First, there will be an increased law enforcement's presence throughout the city, and that will increase throughout the trial and reach up to full capacity as we get closer to the verdict. And as you mentioned, full capacity would be up to about 2,000 National Guard and up to about 1,100 law enforcement from other jurisdictions. Also, as announced last week, 38th in Chicago is going to remain closed to vehicular traffic. But we're going to and that's necessary right now, because we recognize that this is going to be a very important space for community gathering, both during as well as at the conclusion of trial. And it will be a top priority to give people, especially our BIPOC communities, spaces and resources to safely gather, to heal, to process the events that will unfold in the next few weeks. And if we can learn from some of the other trials involving the killing of a black man by police officers in other cities, we know that as things get closer, it's going to be increasingly tough and traumatic. And so we want to recognize that right from the get-go. We're working yes, please.
No, go ahead. Please continue your thought.
We're also working with our Office of Violence Prevention, our neighborhood community outreach teams, to make sure that we've got I'll call it a phone tree. It's a little different than a phone tree, but it's making sure that we've got two lines of communication, so we can both disseminate information as well as receive it, and we can make sure that our communities are up to date. And in terms of traffic, no doubt there will be disruption to downtown and travel around that area, but our public works team is really coordinating across several jurisdictions to make sure that there's as much transportation access as possible.
Mayor, I'm just curious, could you envision the implementation of a citywide curfew, or will that depend ultimately on the verdict and events on the ground? I mean, you've got that in your hip pocket if need be, right?
We do. We're not taking any option off the table at this point. The number one priority has to be safety. Safety for our communities, our families, safety for our businesses. That is exactly the way that we want to move forward in assuring people that while this will be a difficult and traumatic time, we will have safety in our city. And so one of those tools that we have, yes, is a curfew. And although I haven't made any definitive plans as to when or how to institute it at this point, it is certainly is a possibility, especially as we roll in towards the end of the trial and through jury deliberations.
Mayor, before you go, what are your thoughts on the governor loosening the COVID-19 restrictions? How will that affect Minneapolis?
So the governor has, I think, changed a number of different restrictions. We in Minneapolis had one restriction that we just lifted, which was around bar seating, and we lifted it so that we're now in compliance with what the state already has. COVID-19 is obviously still a threat. We have seen numbers stagnate and or decrease in terms of the average number of COVID-19 positive tests that we've seen. It's now at 5% or even below. And so this is progress, yes, but you know, we're not out of the woods yet. But I think we're kind of looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully we can get back to that point in time where we're remembering all of the wonderful things that we love about our city. It's easy when you're sitting at home watching Netflix in your basement to forget how much you loved heading over to Target Field for a game or understanding how much you love going to a concert or the farmer's market down on Nicollet or a packed bar. But slowly but surely, we are getting back to that point where we can see a reinvigorated city.
Mayor Jacob Frey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
You both for having me. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.